It's good to see you tonight. If you have your Bibles and want to be turning to John chapter 21. Follow me. Two simple words, a command, a sense of direction, a way of life. To follow means to go or to come after, to move behind in the same direction. We are familiar with the concept of following. We learn that skill very early on when we're in kindergarten. We have to get up from our desk, go to the door, and line up quietly. And then we follow the person in front of us and whoever's in front of them. And all the way at the front, there's the line leader or the teacher. And they take us where we need to go. Follow me. A few years ago, we went up to a dairy farm in Kentucky. Somebody had suggested a tour up there because they had fresh ice cream. So we were sold. And one of the activities that they had at the farm was this giant corn maze. I've never really liked walking through fields of corn, but the kids were excited. So we started off and we had no idea where to go. We were lost. And I was pushing a stroller in a field of corn with all the bugs. But then someone in our group remembered that they had given us a little map, a pamphlet, and they started to follow it. There were clues along the way, and we began to make sense of it. We asked people in the maze for tips about where they had been and where we should go. We followed the map holder, our guide. They gave us instructions. We trusted their instincts, and we made it out alive. All I did was push a stroller and follow. Follow me, that word has kind of been hijacked by our culture. We say we follow someone on Instagram or Facebook, but that's kind of diluted down what it really means to follow. But in John chapter 1, as Jesus was walking by, John the Baptist proclaimed to his disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God." From that moment on, their lives would never be the same. In John 1 and verse 40, it says, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas,' which means Peter." Andrew follows Jesus. But then he goes to find his brother Simon, and he tells him that we have found the Christ, the Messiah, the one that was promised in the scriptures. This is the one who would fill all the things that have been written. And when Simon comes to Jesus, it says that he changed his name to Peter, which means rock. Sometimes others would bring someone to Jesus, as Andrew brought Peter. But Jesus also directly called people. He goes to Galilee in the following verses. He finds Philip and tells him, "Follow me." There's nothing complicated or mysterious about that phrase, "follow me." And yet it is one of the most profound statements in all of Scripture. In the beginning of his ministry, Jesus told his disciples to follow me. But it was at the end of his time on earth that their conviction and their faith, their desire to follow him, would be tested. And I want to look at that final follow me from John chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. It says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Before this scene in John chapter 21, Jesus has just performed an incredible miracle. The disciples have gone out on the Sea of Galilee to fish, which they often did. They were, by occupation, fishermen. But this night was not successful, and as the morning begins to break, they still have caught nothing in their nets. As the sun begins to rise on the horizon, there is a man that is standing over on the shore. He calls out to these exhausted and defeated fishermen, and he says, have you caught any fish? They reply with no. He tells them to do something interesting. He says to cast your net on the right side of the boat. And they do. And what happened next was absolutely miraculous. The net they pull up is full of fish. John tells us 153 large fish. They struggle to drag it to shore. When the disciples realize who this is, when the disciples see this, they understand who this is. And they hurry to shore. And John tells Peter that this is the Lord. And when they reach the land, there is a fire that's being kindled. And Jesus invites them to come and to have breakfast. There is bread and fish that's already on the coals. There must have been so many questions racing through their minds. How is he eating food with us? How long is he going to stay here? What is going to happen to him? But after the breakfast, it is Jesus who has a question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? In these verses, we see that Jesus is about to restore his disciple, Peter. In John 13, in verse 36, it says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Peter says, I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to go wherever you go. Whatever happens to you, the same will happen to me. I'm ready to lay down my life for you. Imagine if you were about to get engaged. And you had the ring, and you knew the place, and you were getting ready to get down on one knee and pop the question. And someone came up to you, and they said, by tomorrow morning, the two of you won't even be a couple. That's impossible. We're going to spend the rest of our lives together. This statement made by Jesus would have been utterly shocking to Peter, because before the rooster crows, you will deny me not once, but three separate times. Jesus now asked Peter the question, do you love me? The setting for this exchange has some similarities to the denial. They are sitting by a charcoal fire, verse 9. And Jesus is about to ask him three separate times. It is interesting to note that all four of the gospel writers record the denial of Peter, but only John tells us about this restoration. In the first question in verse 15, Jesus says to Peter, do you love me more than these? The text is ambiguous about who the these refers to. Several possibilities have been suggested. Jesus may be saying, do you love me more than you love these disciples? Is your love for me greater than it is for your friends, for your comrades? Or perhaps he was saying, do you love me more than you love these things, these fish, this fishing boat, your occupation, what you're doing right now to make a living? Or maybe he's saying, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? If you remember, Peter was so adamant about his conviction. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33, it records him saying, though all of these fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Perhaps now Jesus is bringing focus back on that attitude and saying, Peter, do you really love me more than these others? How great is your love? When I was playing sports in high school, after the game, something that we would always do the next day or the next week was we would go back and we would watch the game film. The purpose of that was to be able to study the things that we did well and then learn from the things we did that were not so well. And I can remember my coach, Coach Closa, he didn't go easy on us. His favorite two buttons on the remote were pause and rewind. And we would just go back over again and again. Jesus is trying to correct Peter. He's trying to ground him. He's trying to help him as he moves forward to realize what he did, but also to reestablish him. Jesus is gracious, but he's also stern. And after Peter responds each time, Jesus gives instruction. He says, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, do my work. And after asking Peter a third time, he says, do you love me? The text says that Peter was grieved. Why would you ask someone the same question multiple times? Why would you ask them again and again? If they gave you the same answer, why would you just keep asking them? Maybe there are doubts or distrust. Peter may sense that his word alone is not enough, that just saying it is not sufficient. And so he's troubled when Jesus asks a third time, do you love me? We see from this account that when following Jesus, our desire to be with him should be motivated by love. Isn't it interesting the question that's posed here? Jesus doesn't ask Simon, are you sorry for what you did? Simon, have you learned your lesson? Simon, are you going to be committed to our cause going forward? Because we can't have this type of back and forth. But instead, Jesus says, Simon, do you love me? And Peter's response is, yes, Lord, You know that I love you. Why do we follow Jesus? Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we live differently? Why would we go against our own desires and will to do what the Lord has said? It's based on love. We don't follow because we're afraid or embarrassed. We don't follow because we feel obligated or because it's what we've always done or it's what our family does. We are disciples because we have come to know his character and his goodness and grace. And because of that, we love him. The more we learn about him, the more we understand who he is, the more we see his word and his will played out in our lives. And we can see that there is wisdom, there is life, there is produce that is given through God's word. Our respect and our appreciation grows more and more. Being a follower is more than just saying the right things, doing the right things. It's about relationship. It's about connection, our connection to the Lord. He wants our hearts. He wants us to love him. Raising small kids is a lot of work. And there have been times when I'm standing there in the dark in the middle of the night thinking to myself, why would anyone do this? Get up out of bed when it's cold, walk across a dark hallway into a room, change the clothes of this person that smells, then begin to bounce and rock them until they stop screaming and go back to sleep. Why would you go through all of that? I can tell you it's not for the money. There is a greater motivation that's involved. And that's what Jesus is asking Peter here. He's saying, are you willing to stay with me? Are you willing to follow me no matter what happens, no matter what comes? Are you motivated by love? In John 13, just before Jesus is about to wash the disciples' feet and eat the Last Supper with them, John records an interesting statement in John 13 and verse 1. He says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. It says that he loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the very end. All the way through, Jesus loved his disciples. With their imperfections, their failings, their mistakes, he still loved them. And that's the way the Lord feels about each one of us. He loves us regardless of where we are, where we've been. And knowing that gives us great comfort and motivation for serving him. As 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. We are motivated by love. We also follow Jesus. It means that we have an awareness for others. Look at verse 16. It says, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Jesus tells Peter to feed my lambs, to tend my sheep, to feed my sheep. All of these are images of a shepherd, one who watches over the sheep, one who cares for the sheep. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. And now Jesus is passing that responsibility. He is commissioning Peter to care for the sheep, to protect them, to look after them. Jesus immediately directs Peter's focus towards others. He says, if you love me, then you're going to take care of my people. Your love for me will be evident. It's going to be clear to all It's going to be manifested by the way that you treat other people. Do we display a genuine care and concern and interest for other people? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20 says, if we don't love the people we can see, how can we love God whom we have not seen? We took the kids to the roller rink back in the summer. And that is a lot of fun, but it's also very dangerous for the parents. Because you're on these skates and you're trying to keep yourself from breaking a bone while also helping your kids not to get hurt. But there were a couple of times as I was skating around, I would see other people, adults, children, fall down on the rink, fully laid out, just laying there. And it was interesting to watch the other skaters come past. Some of them would act like nothing had happened. Others would skate right up to them and then skate around them. And maybe they weren't in a position to help. But I thought, well, wouldn't it be appropriate just to say, are you okay? Do you need anything? Are you hurt? And to show a sense of concern. When we see a brother or sister struggling to make it, when they're starting to lose their balance and it looks like they're going to fall, or if they've already fallen, we need to have an awareness to keep our eyes open, to be mindful of what's happening around us. And that takes time. It takes time to reach out to other people, to show concern, to ask how you're doing, and then to wait for the answer and to listen. It doesn't mean we're going to fix or solve all of the problems, but it does mean that we care. Like a shepherd who looks over his sheep, we are the type of people who are concerned about others. Jesus says, if you love me, Peter, you'll put that into practice by caring for my people. When we follow Jesus, we also acknowledge his power. In the third response to Jesus, Peter answers a little differently. He says in verse 17, Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you. Peter understands who he's talking to here. He knows that this is the one who has calmed the sea. He has performed incredible miracles. Jesus has walked on water. He knows the thoughts and the intents of people's hearts, and he knows if Peter is telling the truth here. Jesus knows everything about Peter. He knows his feelings, his worries, his anxieties, his impulses, his desires. But he also knew that Peter still believed. He knew that Peter was committed, that he wanted to follow the Lord. He wanted to do the right thing. It's a staggering thought when we realize that God knows everything about us. He sees us in every moment of our lives. Our thoughts, our ideas, our desires are all laid open to him. And yet, we can have a greater appreciation for his love and his character, because despite knowing all of those things, he still loves us. He still wants us to follow him. We can place our trust in Jesus and follow him because we know that we're putting our lives in the hands of one who is an expert, one who knows all about this life. He was perfect in every way, and he knows what's best. Peter understood that there was no one like Jesus who can be trusted in every way. Finally, we see in this exchange that we must follow Jesus in all circumstances. In verse 18, Jesus tells Peter that when He was younger. He was able to go where he wanted to and do the things that he pleased. But the days will come when Peter is older, when that won't be the case. Jesus is offering a prophecy about how Peter's life is going to come to an end. He's going to be imprisoned and ultimately give his life for the Lord. There's so much emotion in this passage. On the one hand, Jesus is extending support. He's offering grace. He's encouraging Peter. But then in the next moment, he's telling him that he's going to have to give his life for this cause. He wants Peter to know that following him is not just about a certain moment in time when things are going well. But this needs to be the type of commitment that spans all circumstances. When Jessica and I wrote our vows, we used a combination of our own thoughts and sentiments, and then also some traditional statements or phrases that are used in vows. And as we were going through and looking at various options, one of the phrases that made the cut that we wanted to keep was "in sickness and in health." To be loved by someone when you're healthy, when you can reciprocate, when you are able to provide, that's great. That's wonderful. That's not when you need them the most. You need their love and their strength when you can't help yourself. And that's the true picture of love, when we give regardless of what is offered in return. It's one thing to follow Jesus when it's a path that is smooth, it's filled with healing and blessings and miracles. But what about when the path leads to adversity and suffering? Before Jesus was arrested, Peter had told the Lord that he was ready to die for him. And now that confession would be put fully to the test. But Jesus says, "Follow me." In John chapter 12 and verse 26, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Following Jesus means that one day we will be honored by his Father, that we'll be accepted into his presence. Jesus will say, "I know this one," and bring us into the presence of the Lord. We're going to close tonight with an invitation song, an opportunity to respond if there's any here that need to begin that walk with Christ, to begin following him. If there's something that we can do to encourage or support you in your walk with the Lord, please come down to the front as we stand and sing.